Hello, my name's Christiana and welcome to the Oceanside Community Church podcast. We're a church in Parksville on Vancouver Island with a vision to be fully devoted children of God, fully mature in Jesus Christ, and fully alive with the Holy Spirit. We welcome you to join us weekly on this journey. For more information about our church, visit our website at oceansidecommunitychurch.ca or download our mobile app. We pray that you'll be blessed and equipped by today's teaching.
We're in John chapter 13. As you just saw, we're in a series about the final days of Jesus' life. And in fact, we're already into the final night. And I'm just going to read the first five verses of John 13 for now, and then I'll read a few more later. But if you have your Bibles, open up to that. There's always Bibles on the back table that you can borrow while you're here or even have. And keep and take home with you. But John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, let's open up our hearts to the Word of God. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress. And the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. May God bless the reading of his words. You may be seated. My title this morning is Last Night on Earth. And I just have to make a confession. This is one of the hardest passages to preach on, because as beautiful and as stunning as it is, it rubs up against so much of who we are, what we think of ourselves, what we think is important, and ultimately what we think about God. There's a lot of directions we could go with this passage, and I can't touch on all of it. And honestly, my first draft had like a really nice pithy title and three kind of points that I had organized and was going to go through some of the different verses. And I ended up just scrapping the whole thing, because all I want to do, I realize, is talk about Jesus and hopefully cause you to fall more in love with him and follow his ways. And in a way, I just didn't want to overcomplicate it. And so I ask right now for the Holy Spirit to come. Just take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to come, to open up our hearts, to teach us, to make us humble, and to draw us into the good heart of Jesus. Amen. Well, imagine the situation with me here. Let me remind you, Jesus is going to die a horrible, excruciating, gruesome death the next day. He's essentially facing his execution, sort of on death row, so to speak, even if voluntary. So what's he going to do with his last night on earth? Order up his favorite meal? Get a room in the penthouse of the most expensive hotel in Jerusalem? That's what I might do. Should he get even, get revenge with all those who have wronged him? Give a huge lecture on how great what he's going to do the next day is by going to the cross? Talk about what a great sacrifice it is for him to do this? Maybe he could talk about how unfair and unjust it is that he has to pay for our sins. How he doesn't deserve it. What's he going to do? What's on Jesus' mind just hours before his death? Verse 4, Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And it's kind of like, what? What just happens? In his last moments on earth, Jesus was concerned with making sure his disciples' feet were washed. I mean, think of all that was on Jesus' mind. Think of what awaits him tomorrow, crucifixion. Furthermore, he has to be exhausted from weeks of teaching, from all the crowds that have been following him, from answering questions, dealing with controversy and criticism. Everyone has an opinion on Jesus and what he should do. If anyone ever had an excuse to just say, hey, I got compassion fatigue, guys. I can't really be bothered with what others need right now, with what's happening. It's not really a good time to ask me to do something to serve others. I mean, if anyone, it was Jesus. I mean, he had every reason to lay back, relax, and say, hey, guys, this is my last night on earth. You figure out who's going to wash everyone's feet. I can't be concerned with that right now. You know, I'm kind of preparing to take on the sins of the world. Jesus, God in the flesh, on his last night, in one of his last acts on earth, Jesus simply does what needs to be done in the moment, no matter how lowly the task. He washes their feet. I mean, what an absolutely shocking act this is. It was the job of the servant, the lowest in the room, to wash the feet of the guest. It's the most lowly, insignificant, and humbling of tasks. You may have heard that in that day, people walked around in sandals. And so when they traveled to a place, their feet would get incredibly dirty. And the streets were very dirty at that time. They were either dusty or muddy. They had, you know, animal feces on the street. And it was, your feet would just get filthy when you walked somewhere. And so it was the custom for the servant at the house you went to wash the feet of the guests, especially before you dine. So you can sort of feel the tension in the room and the pride building as the disciples surely realize that no one has washed their feet. Apparently, no one had been designated to do this task, and they all are probably wondering, who's going to wash our feet? Who's the lowest and least among us? I mean, they're all probably thinking it should be someone other than themselves. You know, let someone else do it. I've done my fair share lately, more than anyone else. You know, Peter and Andrew are kind of probably thinking, well, we were the first to follow Jesus. We were the early adopters. We've been here the longest. Not going to be us. We've done our time. You know, Matthew's thinking, well, this should be James and John. I mean, they're just fishermen. James and John are thinking, it should be Matthew. He's a tax collector. And likely all of them are thinking, it should be Judas. You know, it's just something not quite right about that guy. He should be washing our feet. But no one budges. They're all waiting for someone else to act, someone else to do what needs to be done. And so what Jesus shows them is that true leadership, true greatness, true love comes in voluntary service. And I think about this act of Jesus and story probably as much as, maybe more than, any other in my life. That he sees a job that needs to be done, one he shouldn't have to do, and he just humbly does it. And in doing so, he redefines what it means to be great. Greatness is not always what or even who we think it is, and the greatest acts are not always the most visible acts. I mean, in a way, what a waste of time and talent for Jesus, the rabbi, the Son of God, to wash their feet. I mean, shouldn't he use his time to teach them from his great wisdom, to explain the mysteries of heaven, to say, hey guys, you have no idea what I could teach you. Do you know how cool it is to have all the angels just kind of at your beckoning words? What is greatness according to Jesus? Is it amount of followers on Instagram? I hear this all the time, right? This is how we define people. So-and-so, who has 1.2 million followers on Instagram, is that greatness? To build your brand, your platform, have a voice of influence? Is it to have a bunch of people under you, whether positionally in your job, economically in your income, intellectually in your education, mentally or physically in your health, relationally in the success of your kids or marriage? Is that greatness? Is greatness being able to tell others what to do, to verbally exercise your authority? Jesus shows us a different way, a better way. Verses 12 through 17, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for this is what I am. But now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Friends, Jesus shows us a better way, the way of washing the feet of others. I mean, Jesus had every right to use this opportunity to bash the disciples, to give them a lecture. I mean, the next day, they were all going to desert him. Judas was going to betray him. He should have stormed out of the room and said, forget you guys, right? You don't get it. I'm obviously going to have to do this myself. That's what I would have done. It's what I often do. But Jesus shows them this is what love looks like and says, you should love the same. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And friends, the biblical witness of Jesus' ministry in the New Testament is that above all, followers of Jesus should be known as people of love, who like Jesus, verse 2 here, love until the end. What are we known for? What do we want to be known for? Jesus gives us the answer and leaves us a lasting impression on his last night on earth. We should be known for humble love and serving others, no matter who they are, friend or enemy. Jesus said it clearly in Matthew 5, and you'll read the whole passage in your life groups this week. But he said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. That's what it means to be a child of God. If you love those who love you, well, what reward do you get? If you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Even pagans do that. Jesus saying, there is no limit. There is no standard for whose feet we're called to wash. Do you love Jesus? Are you really in love with him? Not with the God who you think he should be, a God that fits our lifestyle and way of thinking, that benefits our power and privilege, how we use our time and money, the choices we make, the priorities and values in life, not the God who serves our agendas and political proclivities, but are you in love with the God he actually is? The one who would wash the feet of those who would later betray him and deny him. If so, will you wash the feet of your brother and sister? Even if they don't think like you, hold all the same values as you, think the same about COVID stuff or politics. My challenge to all of us is to ask, whose feet can I wash? What might this look like? Maybe you're doing something kind for a coworker that you're somewhat at odds with, or covering for them, even if it's the 10th time they've asked you. Maybe showing a family member whom you're having a hard time with that you still love them by picking up the phone, sending a card or a text or an encouraging word. Maybe it's watching someone's kids who are having a rough time, even if they've never offered to help you or been there for you before. Showing kindness to someone who doesn't deserve it, maybe hasn't earned it. Friday night, we were celebrating a couple things in our family, so we went out for sushi, as we often do. And I was kind of in a bad mode because I was in hangry Joseph mode. And we ordered our food, and I love getting hot tea when I'm having Japanese food. So I ordered my hot tea, and then everybody else ordered the waters. And I'm watching more people come in, and they're getting seated, and they're ordering drinks, and they're getting their drinks, and our drinks still haven't come. And our appetizers haven't come yet. Our miso soup is not coming out. I'm watching other people get their miso soup who came in after us, and I'm getting a little frustrated. And I want my hot tea. And I'm trying to make eye contact, but she hasn't come back to the table at all. And finally, she comes back to the table, and hangry Joseph snaps a little and says something like, "Hey, can you bring our drinks?" But I didn't say it that nice. And I apologized to her later, even though, I mean, I wasn't like super harsh, don't get the wrong idea, but it was kind of a humbling moment. It's hangry me, but it's still sin. And I said, "Hey, I'm sorry about that. I was just kind of really thirsty." And there were a bunch of other problems. It wasn't the kind of the greatest experience. And so I get up to the counter, and of course the tip option pops up. I got to make a decision. You know, I could have reduced the tip, just given 10 or 15%. That's kind of what she deserved. But as I'm staring at the screen, I just decided I'm just going to wash her feet. And I'm just going to give a big tip anyway. It could be that instead of complaining about someone, a leader, a politician, you decide to pray for them. That would be an act of washing their feet. You decide, you know what, I'm going to try to feel God's love for them. That's an act of washing feet. Going the extra mile for someone, even if they don't deserve it, don't ask for it. This Wednesday, of course, we begin Lent. It's a season of repentance. And I believe it's so timely, so important this year, because we've just let so much other stuff get in the way these past 2 years of how we live, who we love, who we let in our social circle, what we value, what we stand for, and I'm just done. I'm just like, I just want to wash people's feet. The good and the bad, the haves and the have-nots, the young and the old, the rich and the poor, the right and the wrong, the quiet and the obnoxiously loud, the vaxxed and the unvaxxed, I don't care anymore. I just want to be known as a lover of Jesus and a washer of feet. What do you want to be known for? What do you want your identity to be, your legacy to be? What's the first thing you want someone to think about when they think about you? You know, I hope someone can say, you know, I know Joseph and I didn't see eye to eye on everything. We held different values and beliefs. We disagreed about a lot. I wasn't even always that kind to him, but his love toward me was just unwavering. When I was sick, he still visited me. When I was out of money, he still gave to me. When I needed a friend, he was still there. And the reason I have such a hard time with this passage is it's just such a humbling reminder that I'm actually nothing like this. Nothing like Jesus. I mean, he is everything I am not, but also everything I want to be, which is why I so desperately love him, cling to him, fall before him, the one who comes and washes the feet of this filthy, unworthy, needy, weary human being. And he'll do the same for you, and we do the same for others. So as the band comes up, we're going to spend some time praying and listening to the Lord about what a lifestyle of foot washing might look like. And as we do that, we're going to sing a song. It's one of my favorite songs ever. We often sing it around this time of year as we move toward Easter. And it powerfully summarizes some of what we've talked about this morning. And it contains this wildly dangerous prayer, one I can barely get out of my mouth and off my lips. That I want to be like you, Jesus. And the reason it's so hard is because I know how serious it is and what it means to say that. I want to be like you, Jesus. For to be like Jesus is to associate with the God of the humble, to give up my ideas and definitions of what it means to love, give that up for his way of humility and service. So as a sign of your willingness to follow Jesus this morning, you may want to kneel as the song suggests. But I do have something for you to take with you. There's these foot washing cloths up here. And, you know, if you want to do blue for the guys, pink for the ladies, you can. But there's no expectation for that. But I just want you to take this with you as a reminder. And I try to get something nice and thin and easy. You could hang this on your fridge. You could put it in your car. You could put it in your Bible. You could put it on your desk at work. You could put it in your kitchen by the dishwasher so that next time, like me, you're like, I did it last time. I'm not going to do it this time. It reminds you to just do what needs to be done. So you can pick up one of these and you can take time to pray, to kneel. But this is just a reminder that hopefully this week, go out of your way to wash someone's feet. You can come and get that, and if you want to stay and kneel or go back to your seat and pray, let's use this time to fellowship with the Lord.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube, or download our mobile app for more content. If you're in the area, we hope to see you soon. Until next time, may the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ richly bless you as you live by His Spirit.